edition of the Hagmann Report. We have with us Russ Dizdar. His website, shatterthedarkness.net. Also, check out his book, The Black Awakening, and also his radio show, The Ragged Edge Radio, which is on each and every day on Global Star Radio, right before our show. And you can listen to that each and every day. You can get the archive also through Global Star Radio. And it's a great show. It's a fantastic. I love listening to the show sitting here before we start our show. It's a great way to sit down and get ready to go. And Russ, you do a great job on the radio. You always I like how you have the theme shows with the, you know, you're doing different themes here and there, and you really stick to that and follow through, and I get a lot out of that, so I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. Now, let me just jump in here. Two things. You got another book coming out, and I'm excited about that. And you could, am I allowed to say that?
I guess. Well, absolutely.
I just did. So, whoops. Okay. But if people knew, by the way, since tomorrow's Halloween, this big commercial holiday in America, if people knew what the jack-o'-lantern represented, and if people knew what they were doing, I don't know, would they still do that? I don't know. But with that, you know, the celebrations, I don't even know if you want to go into that or whatever, but take us wherever you want. Well, you know what? Go back and tell us about your book that's coming out, because I'm excited for that.
Okay. And I got copies for you. It's called Expelling Darkness. It is... It actually is really written because so many believers over all these years now at conferences, they need to know the authority, the armor, how to do it. You know, how to engage the demonic side for yourself, for others. So it's really a training, but it's a book, and just Expelling Darkness. And it is, publisher will have it out probably in about 7 to 10 days, and then we have pre-sales already out, so we're gonna get those out. Augmented is next. That's a sequel to The Black Awakening. That's gonna be just probably a little bit about a month or so away too. So I'm staying home a lot, Doug, right now. I'm gonna finish doing a lot of this. I have 4 books that are supposed to have been out a long time ago. So I'm gonna do radio, writing, and then we're gonna do boots on the ground all over the place. And I want to take you guys. I want you guys to go to some backwood places with us, and nail down some stuff.
You know, look, I'll tell you what, folks. In my tenure as an investigator, all my adult life, it seems, going with Russ is an experience that you don't soon forget. I'll just say that. And the stuff that he sees is really kind of a cross between Criminal Minds, the Picton case. It meets reality, for example. And so you got to pray for Russ, because he's out there in the front lines. His team, they're out there in the front lines. And if you don't think this is real, oh man, it's real. Pizzagate, Pettigate, it's real. All of this depravity that we see is really what it's kind of the currency. Children, human trafficking, drugs, sex, whatever. It's the currency of the global elite, isn't it? I mean, that's just crazy. Look, Russ, take us wherever you want to take us now, because here we are a day before, well, the 30th of October. Just fire away, man. Take us wherever you want to take us.
Sure. A couple of things I said tonight live, too, and I think it's important. I mean, here's the issue. When we talk about the underground, I mean, dealing with drug lords, the majority of drug lords and drug dealers, they've not been caught. The majority of the mafia, they haven't been caught. The majority of serial killers, they have not been caught. So we need to realize there's a whole underworld that's bigger and broader than we understand. We can either run from it and just pretend that it's not there until it comes around us, or we can really embrace what's going on. I'd rather have a heads up if anybody's in my neighborhood. So here's the bigger picture. It corresponds to biblical prophecy and what God has given us advanced intel. And so I'm glad to report that God in prophecy, he's way ahead of everybody. That's where we have definitive insight to all of this, but it has boots on the ground. Just like God said in the Old Testament, John the Baptist is going to come prior to Jesus. Judas is going to come and betray Jesus with 30 pieces of silver. So there's a massive bulk of biblical prophecy that tells us there'll be more demonic activity, more demons, more satanic powers on this side than ever in the history of the world. in the end of days. Now, my 30 years, 35 years of doing it, there's no question. I was down in Georgia this last weekend. I met a prosecutor, listens to us, and we were talking about cases. So I asked the prosecutor, have you seen in the last 10, 20, 30 years, he stopped. I mean, he was immediately into it, Doug. He just said, no, he says, it is off the charts. The violent crimes, the horrible crimes, crimes against children. So we're all hearing pieces in the news. That's important, but it's 1,000 times worse. So what we've dealt with and what we've engaged and we've been, you know, boots on the ground with it, dealing with it for, the, you know, over 35 years. The underground. I mean, we talk about the deep state, but let's one more step down. The supernatural deep state. This is the satanic side. This is the real Luciferian. I believe they are multi-continental. They are in place, political, military, wealthy elite, and technological giants in league. But all of it's fueled and empowered by dark side presence. And the only way to do that, and the number one way to do that, is satanic rituals. Just like in the Old Testament, the number one way with Moloch and Baals and so forth, blood sacrifice, human sacrifice, child sacrifice, cannibalism of that. It's huge in the Old Testament. So here's what we've seen just quickly as far as stats. I said it tonight on radio. I'm going to say it again here, and I appreciate that. I believe that tonight alone, at a minimum, 1 million satanic rituals will be done. Beginning, you know, they're gathering around 11, doing this stuff between 12 and 3, releasing demons, summoning demons, and releasing them around 3 in the morning. We've got to understand the underground, and the only biblical good picture I can give everybody is Ezekiel chapter 8. Nobody knew it was going on. Nobody knew it was there. Not even the good prophet Ezekiel, until God took him, and he was willing, and took him step by step by step to get inside there and see what's going on, and then God eventually took him all the way to the faces of the perpetrators. He could have named them one by one. So tonight, there's going to be in every single city in the United States, this is true in Europe, this is true in England, this is true in Australia and Canada, there's going to be rituals in every single city, in every single place. We're not talking about the New Agers, Wiccans, Pagans, Druids, Voodoo, Voodan, Hoodoo, the Saint of Death, and on and on. That's all going to happen too. You're going to have hundreds of millions worldwide in, you know, engaging the entities, the spirits. They're going to be doing what the spirits say in rituals. They're going to be doing spells and hexes and summonings and engagement with spirits and meditation and channeling. But the undergrounders, the real Satanists, the real Ezekiel 8 kind of people, they're going to be summoning demons. They know what they're doing. They're going to summon demons to receive more power. They're going to summon demons to transmit into their people or in that coven and new people. They're going to summon demons to shield themselves and keep them shielded from everybody. They're going to summon demons and target the Hagmans, the Dizdars, the Quails, the Marzulis, the Horns. They're going to target anyone they think is an enemy. They're going to summon and send spirits. They're also going to summon and send spirits to advance their cause. Now, here's a principle for a believer. I believe that we extend the gospel, the kingdom of God, as we pray. The power of the Spirit of God empowers us, leads us. Nobody gets saved, healed, delivered without the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God. Same thing on the other side. There is no advance to the cause of Satan, no development to the cause of Satan. There is no Antichrist. There is no false prophet. There is no opening of the abyss unless they have the powers constantly being unleashed to release and advance all of that. So I'm going to tell you this. With every ounce of my being, I believe that the underworld, the right below the surface of the deep, it is vast, it is organized, it is militaristic, it is bulging at the seams, it is waiting. It is that global, the Bible calls it the mysterium, mystery of iniquity. That system, it's the global demonic fallen ones interfacing with humans in the development of what everybody knows, New World Order. They just don't know how lethal, they just don't know how dark it really is. So there's many paying the price. If we're correct that there are 100 million globally satanic ritually abused individuals four generations since the Nazis, it's horrific as human trafficking is, this may be 2 to 3 times larger, more lethal, more destructive. So tonight, I'm just saying, across America, tomorrow night on the 1st of November, you can connect this with crime scene, you know, going back to old crime scenes, ritualistic killings. You're going to find out they're on the dates. They're on the dates of the satanic calendar. Because that's what the demons prescribe. They want to gather. They want their people to gather. They want the people to do the rituals that they've designed them, you know, for them to do. See, the ritual workers think they're getting the demons to submit. No. When they do their circles, when they summon in those ancient languages, when they put all the symbols, when they do all they're going to do, they're obeying the spirits. They're obeying the demons. And the demons will be appeased. They're going to come through. But the demons, Doug and Joe, number one, they want blood. They want torture. They want mayhem. They want fear. They want terror. They want to live and revel, and that's their nature. Like the serial murderer you're talking about, I have to assume that there's some, and I don't know him or any deep report about him, but I have to assume that kind of slaughter involves demonic presence, because they revel in human desecration. It's a way in which they blaspheme God, but it's also a way in which they create big doors for more of them to come over. And it's going on tonight in huge ways. And I believe with the release of stuff, it's going to continue to bring effect into the political landscape, into the world that we're living in. I mean, look at just the light level. The underground Satanists think of Wiccans and Druids and them as light level. But look at all the thousands that have gathered together to do actual spells, summoning spirits against Trump and anybody that follows Trump. They know that he is in opposition to them. And so they're doing spells. They're raising, you know, in rituals, demons to send against Mr. Trump and that administration and anybody that would support or pray for him. So the dark side doesn't like him, and so there's a battle to strike out politically. I believe that Antifa is probably spiritually fueled by some of these rituals, and why they picked November 4th, that may be by design.
Okay. How so?
Well, that's the culmination. All these demons that are being coming through the rituals and they're summoning them and so forth to release them. So the release of these powers, think in terms of the Moabite king in the Old Testament. He's losing a battle to Israel. He sends 700 other soldiers out, and he's losing badly to Israel. So he takes his son, goes to the wall, does a actual satanic, I mean a blood sacrifice, killing his own son, shedding his blood on the wall to the demon god. And if anybody wants to read the Hebrew or just study it, the soldiers, the Moabite soldiers, went into a frenzy and they defeated Israel in that battle. They literally they weaponized that presence. They went into those soldiers, the Moabite soldiers, and just simply fueled them. Look at Mark chapter 5, how demons make them, you know, 20 times stronger than a man. So, you think in terms of the demons. There's even things called chaos magic, with a K. To summon demons to give assignment. To summon demons to fuel it. To summon demons and to release chaos. To summon demons and to bring that kind of confusion. That's what that dark side is all about. So when I begin to look into, and I'm looking into it all this week, because I want to take, I might take a large team out to Cleveland or wherever. If Antifa is going to be out there, I might want to take a team to engage them on a spiritual warfare basis, evangelism basis. So the powers that they're going to release in rituals are going to have effect. And they they target them. So they're going to be targeted against Trump. They're going to be targeted against people like us. They're going to be targeting the general society. So I think dark powers that they're summoning and releasing will help fuel exactly what Antifa wants to do. They fit the bill of satanic rebels. That's what it's all about. So whether they're actually involved or not, because you watch the violence they do, you watch just the utter violence. You see some of the new some folks have infiltrated them and see about them talking about knives and even guns now to take these places.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very interesting to see them coordinated, you know, all across the nation, and they're coming out declaring their violence. So it's kind of a precursor to Black Awakening or to the Red Horse issue. Look at the Red Horse prophecy on a global scale. When that occurs, that's what it's all about. The release of individuals that are going to slaughter many others. This is like a tiny trailer to all of this. But I'm saying I believe that the power summoned and the power sent on a collective level now. We're not talking one or two. We're talking thousands and thousands. And I will tell you this. Every satanic ritually abused person and anybody working with them across the land, they're all going to tell you the same thing I'm going to say. I'm telling you. They know this. They know this now. What we have to do is make sure a lot of people know this so that tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands of believers can be really, I mean, we really gotta be awakened to know the kind of praying we need to do against that stuff and the rebuking of those powers, and then let alone advancing the kingdom of God, which is the primary work that we have. So I think that now that I've been home all day thinking about it and praying about it, I want to take, you know, 10, 20, 30, I don't know, folks all prayed up. Going to ask thousands of people to pray for us, but I want to find out if it's they're going to be in Cleveland. I want to find out if they're going to be in my area, and I want to go there. I want to go there. I want to engage it.
Wow. The Antifa thing is really interesting, Russ. And I don't know how many people saw this from the Gateway Pundit. How far ago was this? This was just a few days ago. Antifa leader, November 4th, millions of Antifa super soldiers will behead all white parents. This was a tweet from a guy named Tom Bloke, who apparently is one of the heads of a Antifa movement, and they said that they're threatening violence and targeting white parents and small business owners. Now, I have my own opinions on what's going to happen November 4th, and Russ, I think you're right. I think you're only going to see a handful of cities, see actual groups of people on the streets protesting. Cleveland might be one of those. I don't know. But unless I'm missing something, it seems like the mainstream media they were forced to cover the violent side of Antifa. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how many people are really willing to get out there and fight with them. Dad, I know you got a lot of opinions on Antifa, but the spiritually charged.
Opinions, but also people who've made it inside. And yeah, they're arming themselves, which is tremendous. And by the way, the ISIS Antifa connection's been proven. Ed Klein, in a book coming out at the end of this month, documents that. But the Islamic component.
What they said about beheading people in their tweet. Right. I mean, that tells
right.
you a lot.
So
right
yeah, you're exactly right. Okay, so, but the darkness associated with this, Russ, is just tremendous.
But yeah, the point you made about spiritually, through these rituals and ritualistic killings, that they can actually spiritually charge this
sure.
movement, and that might be why you have the timing of this the way it is. I mean, why not make it on the 8th of November, the 1 year anniversary of Trump winning the election? You know, why this date? And that's a really good question.
Well, and here's what I think, too. I mean, and this needs to be said. I said it in Baton Rouge. I said it in Georgia. In the body of Christ in America, I don't know if we don't understand this. When you have hundreds of millions bowing down to Allah, we got to be very frank. This is an intellectual study, a historical study, a research study of the Quran and the whole development. Allah never was God, is not God, never will be God. At the very least, he's the ancient moon, demon territorial moon god. huge, a big power as far as in the dark world. Possibly he is the very entity, the Prince of Persia. When you look in the book of Daniel where the Prince of Persia covered, that's where Allah has had his reign. Now, when they bow down in the mosques all over the world, and when Obama had a room in the White House, they were bowing down, summoning, doing the Shahada, summoning a demon territorial powerful entity. Usually a demon territorial spirit will have many thousands and thousands to extend, because they're not omniscient, they're not omnipresent. They'll have many other demons ranking across the board. Every mosque would have those spirits. So when I see them bow, submitting to this entity, and then calling and summoning and saying the name in the Shahada, it is no different than when I see real rituals and them in hoods and so forth summoning and calling the name of those entities to show up, to release power and to be empowered and fueled. The demonic presence and power in them guides them to slaughter and kill and do what they're doing. We all agree it's rising. It's not dissipating. It's rising. And so for Antifa, if this is what they're part of, if they're all kind of, here's what I'm going to, whether it's New Age, Wiccan, Islam, eventually all those independent streams, we realize, all have one source. And the more it rises, the more we're going to see all the spiritual connection is the same and is going to keep moving in the same direction. Everything in biblical prophecy teaches us, everything I know about demons shows me that they are going to be guiding and leading for violence and destruction and tearing. So I wanted to see about counter-infiltrating, because I want to see if there's third-generation satanic super soldiers, the ones that we deal with. I want to see if they're there. Because some of the video clips I've seen today, it's like, you know, I'm looking wide eyes right now, in the sense some of these individuals talking remind me of real satanic super soldiers, split, programmed, demonized, all ready to do their job, with no sense of conscience. They don't care. That demonstrates either you have gone so far, either you have blacked out your conscience, like the Bible says, seared as with a hot iron, or you definitely have demonic presence, because they love blood, they love terror, they love violence, they love destruction, and they want to bring it culturally. They want to bring it across the board. And it's, and Doug and Joe, biblical prophecy shows this, what I research shows this, it's going to continue to build, and it's going to get faster, and there's going to be more, and it's going to seem like everything's out of control, and there's going to be great, and that includes, and I believe this, the dark side's rise in its presence is part of the reasons why we see the environmental issues, hurricanes, the 100-mile wide storms, and destructions and earthquake things. This is involved in the end of days. There's no end of days without the acceleration and manifestation of more demonic satanic powers, presence, than in the collective history of the world.
And that's a very good point, Russ. My dad mentioned to me on Antifa, real quick, they're also doing something called screaming at the sky. And this is real. I know this sounds funny, but mm-hmm. this is real. They're going to... Do they have the same time, Dad, or is it just any time during November 8th you can go outside and scream at the sky? Sure. Paul Joseph Watson did a video about it. But is there any spiritual significance to what they're doing by going out and screaming at the sky?
Good point. There's a scripture we read in Ephesians 4, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down to your anger and give the devil a foothold. Anger is a way of giving a doorway, a tupas, allowing demonic presence to heighten it, to accelerate it, and make it a stronghold. So with the eyes that I have, and what I would say, if you're seeing folks that are so angry and so, it's just that vicious that they have to go out and in a rage unleash that collectively, that's a doorway for demonic attachment. That's a doorway for dark side to fuel from anger and bitterness to rage and then releasing that in action.
Okay. Very interesting.
And there it is. Yeah. But you've got these unwitting mopes out there that are just doing it, just to do it. But I think
like a fashion statement.
Yeah, but they've got no idea what they're inviting in. Kind of like somebody playing with a Ouija board, thinking, oh, it's all right, you know, but no idea what they're doing.
Right.
The doors that they're opening, it's amazing. And so, all right, wow. But yeah, I agree with this. You know, you mentioned Antifa, the beheadings, and, well, here we are. And I go back to your book, Black Awakening, too, because I can see this, I can see how this is all coalescing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really. And but people don't, did you get people who, and I'm sure you do, Russ, who say, oh, that's just a bunch of hokum, you know, this really doesn't exist. But I don't think it really matters what they or we believe. It matters what they believe, because their belief is the driver of their action.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah. Off of my shoulder back here, there's four books sitting sideways on that desk behind me. One of those books is called Stained by Blood, right?
I've heard of that.
Yes. I have made all of my staff read it. I have purchased it by Kindle and sent it to numerous individuals, because what murdered, you know, your relative, and then the pictures and the things that he had and what you see there is what we've dealt with for years. It's the Ezekiel 8 issue. When you have men in satanic robes and the masks or naked, when you have an altar built out of human bones, and them sodomizing, sexually destroying children, you've got what they did in the days of Moloch and Baal and the demon gods. The demon gods are all about, you know, that kind of perverted sexuality. The demons guide the men to transfer demons, to draw the demons. Listen, Christians need not be afraid to study the scriptures on who Satan is, what he's all about, what his nature is, why he does what he does. It's vital that we know this and know our power and our authority and our armor. And then, like David, when we know this and see Goliath, kids, pedophile rings, all this kind of stuff, we can either, again, the choice is stay in the rocks with all the soldiers that are afraid, and there's nothing. Evil just continues to accelerate and get louder. Or like David, he was incensed. And so in the name of the God of heaven, he ran after. Wasn't Goliath running after David. David ran after Goliath. That's the kind of believers we have to become. And we need to do it in this venue to share with tens of thousands and millions. We need to passionately do it on our daily basis and serving the Lord and advancing the kingdom. Let me say again, based on biblical prophecy and all of the blood and guts I have seen, it is going to get extraordinarily worse than you've seen in the last 10 years. And nothing's going to stop it. We're on the slide downward towards the coming global chaos. So this is called, what we're in right now is called the Odin, the times of sorrow. Matthew 24, Jesus said that Odin, tumultuous, chaotic, violent, disturbing, dismantling. That's what we're in. We're in prophecy, not just waiting for, we're in the fulfillments, and there's more to come. So by knowing scripture, you're given extraordinary advanced intelligence, knowledge, information, preparation, and on the basis of that, you got to choose. And if you choose to step out to run against, to run at evil in the name of the Lord, to run and do the kingdom of God in the context of evil, then you're going to find tremendous empowerment from God, tremendous aid. God's going to be with us all the way. He's going to be with us, just like in David's case. But Christians here in the West, we have to become tougher. We need to know what it is. John Wesley, the great evangelist, preaching in England years ago, and he's preaching down these alleys, and somebody threw a rock and hit him in the head, and blood began to come down his head. John Wesley reached up with his sleeve, it said, and he wiped away the blood, and he kept on preaching. That's the mentality. We have to have tough Christians. We have to have strong Christians. We can become the people that do not back down from this, and engaging these individuals in the name of the Lord, by the power of God, that's how we're going to do it. And we're going to preach the gospel out loud. If they want to go out and scream, we're going to go out and unleash praises. God inhabits the praises of His people. If they're going to go out and scream violence and unleash anger so that demonic stuff can attach, we're going to come in the name of the Lord with authority to rebuke that, pray for God's power to come in. And, we have to have a response. Doug Joe, we can't just sit back. We have to have boots on the ground response.
I know, you're absolutely right. And having stronger faith will lead you to acting stronger in that faith. And as you said about the story of David and Goliath, that it was David who was chasing Goliath. And you're right on the money when you talk about the toughness of Western Christians needs to change a lot. And I don't think many even know their own strength. We go through spiritual battles in our everyday life, but how many have really been put to the test, a series of bad things happening in your life or whatever the case is. So I think a lot of people don't even know what their abilities even are and what they can do and what boundaries they can push and lines they can push to know where they are in areas they are stronger at. But it's going to come sooner or later. And as you said, the chaos, whether it's natural disasters, whether it's, political violence, is going to continue to increase as we move through these prophetic times. And, what we see today might seem like it's a whole lot, but what that might look like in 5 years, we might be praying for the days of today. We will be praying for the days of today, for the calmness that we still have today.
Yeah.
That I know you had a question.
Well, Russ, we saw, what you're describing, we saw October 1st, Las Vegas, that shooting in Las Vegas. No doubt there is a spiritual component to that that I think everyone is perhaps overlooking. Any thoughts on that, what we saw?
Well, yeah, I mean, in anyone I've engaged, underground program shooters, four categories fit. Number one, to kill and slaughter and cause as much damage and as much mayhem as possible. That's a satanic program type of shooter. That's what they're all about. They're all about the largest number. It wasn't just an assassination of one individual. This was a slaughter, a massacre. And he wanted more. Secondly, obviously he was no novice. Though they, all his friends said, he with his weapon inside, not hanging out. It's like the colonels and everybody we've listened to say, everything he did was militaristic. He was like a highly trained assassin, a highly trained in all that was necessary in what he did. Thirdly, when it came down to the end of it all and him being caught, what's he do? It seems as though he committed suicide. They all have suicide program. Fourthly, what happened afterwards? All of his friends, everybody said, oh, that's not him. He's not that kind of person. He would never do anything like that. They're seeing a completely other individual. I don't know him. I didn't get to see, so there's no way I can say for sure, but he fits four major categories of a highly programmed shooter killer. And if that's true, somebody programmed him. It was all done by the handlers, and I mean, I believe there was more than just him, but if he was a program shooter and slaughterer the way he did this, now think in terms of this when it comes to the Black Awakening concept and Revelation, the Red Horse Prophecy. What if 5,000 Stephen Paddocks were released in one weekend?
That's right. As you write about in Black Awakening. Mm-hmm.
So when I'm looking at this thing all across the nation, I don't think that's the Black Awakening yet. I mean, as far as the Red Horse Prophecy yet. But this is precursor. I don't know who's among these people. I don't know who they're recruiting. Anybody? Everybody? And who's the center of this? What's the center? Who is the leader behind all of this? Because thousands are joining up with it. But we need to take a look at who really is at the center of this. A side note, if George Soros is involved, now see, I believe the Antichrist has already been born. He's already operative, but the apocalypse to the world has not yet occurred. He's still being restrained. He's held back. But if he has a table and if he's operative and if he's working, I'm saying I would be very sure that Soros would be sitting at that table.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And
good point, though.
Russ, I don't know, you know, if you've ever dealt with what we heard about Paddock, which we don't know if it's true or false, is one, that he had some anxiety, but who doesn't? And two, you know, that Mary Lou Danley made statements that he would, when he would be sleeping at night, that he would, you know, be screaming in his sleep. Mm-hmm. Kind of like night terrors. I don't know if you've seen or heard of any side effects of that programming you talk about, but I would imagine that screaming in the middle of the night in dread would be one of them.
Well, and again, if he's been split and programmed, inside of him he's like this. And maybe Stephen, when he's up during the day, which is when he's been split and programmed, they want Stephen to be up to do what Stephen does, nonchalant, in society, on nobody's radar, kind of fades into everything, just doing what he's doing. But the programmed, highly trained sub-personality had to have been taken up and trained too. Now that's G.H. Esterbrooks again. That's the guy that wrote in 1947, they already learned how to do that, that they can create an alter personality, create a program shooter. So this is not new. That's not my material. That's them. They've already described this world-renowned psychiatrist, psychologist, G.H. Esterbrooks. He's already said that they've been able to do that. We know that. We have little glimpses of Monarch and MKUltra. That's just little bits of information out. But when you deal with program shooters and you see them switch to one personality to the other, every programmed personality inside one of these individuals have a job, but the handlers have given the job. The handlers have programmed each part of them what to do. So, again, programmed shooters, when they're triggered to do their assignment, they'll do it, but they also have a programmed part of them that after it's done, they're triggered to come up and take the body out. I have watched over the years. I can tell you about the federal officer's wife. She struggled. There's times she would just cry, and her, the woman, she's dead now, so I'll say her name. Her name is Margie. Margie would want, you know, she would really want to fight this. She really realized what's going on. Many of them don't realize and have zero control. That's the way they're created, that the main person is supposed to be amnesiac and have no control over stopping the programmed subpersonality that handlers are doing. So if Stephen Paddock was a programmed shooter, and I say that he fits at least four categories, it looks like it, then this was all done by deep state, if not deep satanic state. He did what they do. He did what they're going to do. I'm saying that the Red Horse Prophecy in Scripture warns that from the dark side, by design, by plot, one day there are going to be thousands and thousands of Holmes, Jareds, VTEC shooters, Boston bomber types, and Stephen Paddocks, thousands and thousands released with the goal to bring down millions globally, which moves to the black horse that'll help collapse the economic and food chain system that'll move into the green, or Pell Green Horse, that'll unleash then battles and skirmishes and all the rest of that. So the scripture gives us the dire warning of what the dark side's going to cause. This is what they're going to do. We have advanced intel. Listen, the NSA doesn't have this. The CIA doesn't have this. They can't. It's not in their grid to understand this, let alone they are targets to be assimilated. So if we don't understand how, listen, the fallen cherub Satan, if we don't understand how real he is, he brought down the human race. There is no Antichrist, no end of days without them. So I'm going to say again, the source of all of this, the source of all the physical rumbling, the rise of the pharmacia, the drug trade, the rise of 12 million in Mexicans bowing down to the saint of death, which is an ancient Mesoamerican goddess that demands human sacrifice. They're going to do it. That's why 164,000 in Mexico in 10 years are dead. The combination of drug lords and summoning demons is clear and inseparable in Mexico right now. And it's bringing effect to the world. So pharmakia, demons, engaging demons, and the sexual perversion issue, those are the three main global embedded addictions that will be such a stronghold that when God interrupts and calls the world to repent, they'll refuse their worship of demons. They're going to refuse their embrace of the pharmacon drugs issue, and they're going to refuse based on their highly perverted, addictive sexual decadence. And it's all growing. It's all growing.
And I like how you put this, and I think people have to look at this with a wider lens, as I like to say, because you've got the acceptance of this culture of sexual perversity. And not only that, you've got the exportation of that to others. This celebration of sexual perversity, not diversity, but perversity, packaged as diversity. And then that, right along with that, is the illicit heroin drug issues, those issues. And then the violence. So all of these are interconnected, interrelated under that umbrella of darkness, I suppose, as prophesized in the Bible. And this is why, and if I'm reading you right, or if I'm hearing you right, what the world is not doing, and certainly what the church isn't doing, is recognizing that level of depraved evil that is being unleashed in the world. And not only the church is not exposing it, but certainly they're not equipped to fight it either. And that's where you come in.
Right. And that's my great concern. The world's in big trouble. Revelation 12, the announcement as Satan goes down to the world, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The greatest devastations in human history are coming. Very soon. The world's never seen before. Jesus said it's unprecedented. So we have the intel concerning that. We need to be able to use that to give the dire... Because the rest of the world, they're asking questions why, even like with this Antifa stuff. See, I see all of this as a result of the agenda. It's pushing. It's like if you shake a table, eventually something's going to fall off. So the underworld is being shaken and powers are rising and pushing. And Antifa is a part of that. And why there are millions of victims of SRA, that's a part of that. Why there are 12 to 15 million worshippers of a skeleton dressed in a bride's gown in Mexico called the Saint of Death, which is an ancient demon that demands human sacrifice. Why? Because the world without Christ, they're so vulnerable in being sucked in because there's so much dark spiritual strength. We as believers, we have superior everything. Everything we have. Word of God, Spirit of God, authority, armor of God, the living Savior over us, God's promises. God's going to be doing a lot of things in the world. He's going to back us all the way. So, but I think truly, you know, in the 40 years I've been a believer, there's a time when I was really seeing a lot of revival and things were going on up through the late 70s and so forth. But I have also watched as the church has been dumbed down, dulled down, quieted, silenced. I believe that course with the rise of the dark side through actual ritual summoning and unleashing, sending power, the rise of that includes the suppression of the church. It goes hand in hand. And if we don't recognize this, we'll be lulled to sleep. We'll be Laodicea could not see good enough to know their condition was dire. They were spiritually naked, pitiful, poor, blind. Jesus had to tell them that because they're saying, hey, we're good. We got it. No. We have to come under the Lordship of Jesus and with the Word of God to see spiritually where we are. I told the folks in Georgia, I also told the folks in Baton Rouge, when we gather as a church, it should be the most supernatural, powerful interaction on the planet because God is among us. Spiritual gifts, power in prayer, power in the Word of God, saving, healing, delivering, the power of the authority of the Lord. It should be this incredible, supernatural gathering. But what's happening is people are gathering for 55 minutes, 60 minutes. They walk away bored. They don't remember if they even met God last Sunday. That is a caricature. That's Sardis. Once alive, now dead. That's absolutely what we're not supposed to be. So I don't care how dark it gets. That doesn't negate any of our power, none of our authority, none of our stuff. So this is the good news. Every single believer who wants to believe God, who wants to become stronger, who wants to grow, James tells us the Word of God, you know, we're to draw near to God, and God's going to draw. If we draw near to God, He's going to draw near to us. If we want to be clothed with the power of the Spirit of God and be a soul winner and be a witness for Jesus, if we want to pray for healing, if we want to go out there and engage people and pray against any demon we find, we are supposed to be the aggressors. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not withstand the onslaught of this powerful, incredibly God indwelt, fired up by the Spirit of God, church, people, us. So I'm just saying to every believer, the good news is the Lord Jesus is here. Because of the radical evil, let's get outraged against it and say, God, give me everything you've got. Give me everything. We need everything. And we want to unleash it in this world right now. It's urgent. We got to do it now. We can't wait another 10 years. I don't know if we have another 10 years. So we got to do it now. We got to do it tonight. We got to do it right now.
Absolutely. Russ, we got about 8 minutes left in the show. I don't know if there's anything that we haven't covered that you want to cover. But just in the last few minutes, I guess you just summed up very nicely everything that we need to do, that people need to do. And you asked the question, you know, while you're at church, you know, was it an experience? Did you, you know, talk to God? Did you pray? And many people are removed. We see this so often with a lot of churches today, that the church itself is removed from the biblically foundation and foundational teachings that it gives us. And then you see the pastors that don't, you know, that choose, you know, what they're going to and not going to preach about. You know, one of the big things is not preaching about sin, and there's no conviction. So you don't have this in the church, and it has. I read a lot of comments on stories on online. And people are amazing, the insight that they share. But somebody asked a question today, you know, with about, you know, people say they're Christians. Was it over 70% of the country claims to be Christian? but how many of it, church or no church, actually behave as though they're Christians? Because it's one thing to believe, it's another thing to behave. And I said all that to say to folks out there, and we used to say this a lot, who can't find a church that is faithful enough to the Word of God, you can start your own study groups. You can find other like-minded people in areas around you. You know, you can put up flyers in public places. You can start message boards on the internet. There are things you can do to make a difference. And instead of always expecting other people to be the ones who make the difference, each and every one of us has the ability to step into that role and be the change, be the difference that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Right on, Joe. I mean, that's it. And again, being a pastor and I love the body of Christ and even when there's damage in Sardis and Laodicea, Jesus comes to deal with it, wants them to repent and offers them a way back. But here's what I do believe happening, just what you said. If the Spirit of God, listen, you know how it is. All the conferences, there's so many millions of believers in America, they're not going anywhere because they're just saddened of the sickness and the emptiness and the departure. So here's what I'm going to say. I believe that many believers should listen to the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God leads you to start a home church, it's a lot of work. And that means, you know, not only gathering together and being faithful to yourself and leadership and development, and you need to be evangelizing and you need to, you know, be empowered with the Spirit of God. Because you could have a 10,000 member church and there'd be no spiritual power. You can have 20 believers, or like on the day of Pentecost, 120, or like the disciples. And ultimately, it's really ultimately, you know, first of all, Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, you don't even know Jesus. It's God wants to come into your life. The Spirit of God wants to come into your life. Jesus wants to be your Savior and Lord. He wants to bring the forgiveness. The only way you can find forgiveness and new life and the gift of eternal life is to repent and turn to Jesus and receive Him, and to be filled with the Spirit of God, and then to grow in the power of the Word of God. And if we grow rightly, we're going to grow powerful. Everything is designed for us to grow deep and strong, the joy of the Lord being our strength. And then Jesus said, by their fruit you're going to know them. And that includes answers to prayer, soul winning, healing, and deliverance. It includes the character of Christ and who we are. That's who we are as believers. And the urgency right now for thousands of believers, many of your listeners, Doug and Joe, are the kind of believers that have gotten tired. They don't know where to go. But I would say this, start with where you're at and say, Lord, I maybe got to get two or three believers with you and start the prayer meetings and start studying together and launch out and start doing ministry, and then see if the Spirit of God leads you to start a home church and go from there, or to find something in the city to connect somewhere. But you pursue the Lord. God is faithful. God is absolutely faithful. Every promise is true right now. And that includes for our own lives, for Him to heal us and strengthen us. And there's no need to sit around to be, I mean, look at the world. I'm not depressed about the world. I'm outraged. I feel an urgency. And I know that we have a brilliant, indestructible message and a message of hope in Jesus Christ. And that when we unleash that gospel to people, God's going to be faithful to convict. The Spirit of God will convict of sin, of righteousness and judgment. That's how it's going to happen. But if nobody's hearing the gospel, if nobody's going out on the power of the Spirit of God, then the other side gets free reign. We just need thousands of us out there. My great example is Philip in Acts chapter 8. A young guy, but look at that kind of believer. Every one of us can become that kind of believer. Really, that's the truth. We can all become that bold, that strong, that competent and confident in Christ, in Jesus, and love doing it. I love doing what I'm doing, though it involves the man in Pennsylvania that held up an 8-year-old naked girl by her throat, choking her out, so he could cause the other girl's fear and force them into sexual acts and being filmed. Doug, yeah. Go with me. Help
yes.
me.
Yes, I'm there. Yeah, and yeah. You've got a team. You've got a team, of course, your own team, but you've got a team here with us. And this is what we do. I say that with very much respect to Russ Dizdar. I mean, we don't do what he does, but we certainly are in support of Russ Dizdar in anything we can do. And we ask for your prayers and support for Russ and his team. And of course, by extension, us because look, if we do nothing, what good are we? Really? If we sit back here and do nothing, what good are we? We're not. So, indeed, and we will not just assist you, but we will give everything we've got to you to overcome or to battle against this force of darkness. And, Russ, you're the real deal. We're at the end of the program. We've got about 2 minutes left. Shatterthedarkness.net is your website. And your new book coming out is, tell me again.
Expelling Darkness.
Expelling Darkness, okay. And that's coming, it's available for pre-order, pre-sale right now.
It is. And I think the publisher will have it on its site 7 to 10 days. And then when I have, then when I get them here, then we'll release them to the pre-sale. But it should be up. You can get a pre-sale at a big discount, and I don't want to do a sales job here, but it'll be on the, hopefully on the publisher's site. Just keep watching my site. In 7 to 10 days, that book will be up direct, or you can get a pre-sale, and we'll send it to you directly.
This sounds great, and I'm looking forward to reading that, and I'm sure, folks, if you do nothing else, that book will be well worth the money. And to those people, I say saddle for battle, and for those people who say that they're Christians and like to say, well, that's, that's cute, but you're doing it wrong, or you're a bad Christian, or you're not the right Christian, or you're misquoting doctrine, or you're capitalizing on fear, or you're whatever your friendly fire might be against us. Hey, this is we're in the fight of our lives, and I've got nothing to say to you, but I do have to say to the people who are support us and who are behind us, that we are going to go out there, we're going to fight, we're going to help Russ, or actually we're just going to be at Russ's call whenever he needs us. We need to do this. We need to do this now, because if not us, who? Certainly not the critic out there. Certainly not the people who are taking us down out there, and certainly not the people who we're fighting against. So, Russ, I thank you so much for your guts. Man.
All right. Love you guys.
God bless you, my friend.
Thanks, Russ.
Love you too, man. We're going to be talking. That was powerful by Russ Dizdar. Joe, I don't know. Seriously.
ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website, and his radio show again airs on Global Star Radio Network just before our show from 6 to 7 p.m. Yep. So make sure you tune into that, as it's always fantastic.
Russ is the guy, man. He's the real
deal.
We will
be getting to see him soon.
Yep.
Eric, your equipment's down there and ready to go, so we'll have to get down there to get that all hooked up. And somebody asked, we got an email about a conference that we're supposed to be at with Russ this fall. I don't know anything about it. I don't think we know anything about it. So we'll find out. I didn't want to ask.
I'm not going anywhere.
So we'll get back to you with that. But that'll do it for us tonight. God bless. Have a great night. We will be back here tomorrow.